Our Old Testament reading this morning is Psalm 62. Truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honour depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Surely the low-born are but a breath, the high-born are but a lie. If weighed in a balance, they're nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what they have done. This is the word of the Lord.
We're reading from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. Three paragraphs. Bethsaida and Chorazin, above the Sea of Galilee, is in view where Jesus is woeing the people of Bethsaida and Chorazin. The second, Jesus is talking about his relationship with the Father. And the third is the picture of for the yoke. We of farm backgrounds, I'm sure, understand yoking. Two horses, a bar down the middle, and this collar over the two. Let's go. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Nyet, 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 nyet. Nyet. Did anyone wake up to a sound like that this morning? No? Mine doesn't sound like that. I have like this music from the Transformers soundtrack. It's pretty geeky, but I'll show it to you later. And it crescendos, and then it repeats. Does anyone have, do you have an old alarm clock like that? Oh, Tina still does. Well, there, I haven't seen too many around. When the alarm goes off, I know what I do. I tend to press the snooze button. Is anybody, any snooze, put your hand up if you're a snoozer. Yeah. Maybe multiple times. I love to a bit of a snooze. When the alarm goes off, it's quite shocking because we don't want to always get out of bed, do we? Is there anyone else who just likes to bury their head under the... Sometimes we're in that beautiful dream or we're just in that relaxed state, and when the alarm goes off, it means we have to get up. It means we have to face things. And I know for me, sometimes in life, I just want to bury my head. Sometimes I'm just tired. Sometimes I'm just weary. I'm just done. Last night, I had great trouble falling asleep. So I was up pretty late. And this morning when my alarm went off, I was like, oh, no. So I have got the coffees over there. I'll get another one after the service with you, no doubt. And so the question we have for this morning is, what does Jesus have to do with my alarm clock? We are going to be starting a series over the next month called What's Jesus Got to Do with It? Next week, we're going to think about what's Jesus got to do with the blue mile, the place where we might go for a walk. We're going to think about health. The week after, we're going to think about what's Jesus got to do with my chicos? And we're actually going to have Spiro from Compassion with us that week as well. And finally, Shane's going to share with us, what's Jesus got to do with my couch? We're going to think about the idea of it, comfort. We've actually got our, also that service, we've got our special guest Elizabeth will be with us as well. But today we're going to think about, what has Jesus got to do with my alarm clock? So let me pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, as we look at your word, Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit, would your words speak to us? To encourage us this morning to live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning we're really thinking about rest, this idea of rest. Why is this relevant? Because I have conversations all the time with members of our congregation, and often people will say to me, Langdon, I'm tired. Life is hard. I am struggling. I'm struggling with the cost of living. I'm struggling with my health. I'd love to put your hands up. Have you felt just tired, just worn out any time in the last couple of weeks? Have you just got to that? Yeah. We just get, we're just tired. And when we become tired, we often disengage from life. We disengage from our work, we can maybe disengage from our family. Sometimes we even disengage from God and from church. And so this morning, I just wanted us to consider three things about rest, thinking about what has Jesus got to do with my alarm clock. Rest is a way of life, rest when we're under pressure, and this true source of our rest. I firstly want to think about rest as a way of life, and think about the Sabbath. The Sabbath. The Sabbath is to cease, to stop. It's the day that stops. In Genesis chapter 2, we read of God creating for 6 days, and the heavens and the earth were completed in their vast array. But by the seventh day, God finishes the work he's been doing, and on the seventh day, he rests. And God blessed that seventh day and made it holy. God has finished creating. And we read in Genesis that he's in rest. He rests from his work of creation. And as that's what God did, he sets it up for his people. And the Ten Commandments, we read in Exodus 20, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, neither you nor your son nor your daughter or your male or female servant, your animals, your foreigner residing in the towns. For God, as for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. God is setting up for his people, just as I rested, I want you to rest too. But then he goes further. In Leviticus, we read that God sets up the Sabbath year. The Lord says to Moses, say to them, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I'm giving you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath. For 6 years sow your fields, and for 6 years prune your vineyards and gather the crops, but in the seventh year the land is to have a year of Sabbath, a rest. And then it even goes further in Leviticus 25, because there is to be what's called a year of Jubilee, a year of Sabbath. Count off 7 Sabbath years, 7 times 7 years, so that the 7 Sabbath years, it's like a tongue twister, amount to a period of 49 years. Then have the trumpet sound ever on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, sound the trumpet throughout your land, consecrate the 50th year, and proclaim liberty to all its inhabitants. It is a year, it shall be a jubilee for you. Each of you is to return to your family property in your own clan. Do not sow and do not reap what grows or harvest the unintended vines, for it is a jubilee and it's to be holy for you. God rests after 6 days and he encourages his people with setting up this way of life of rest. And on that, during that rest, God's people are to remember their Creator. God's people are to remember how they've been redeemed out of Egypt, how they've been set free from slavery. And it was to be a holy day dedicated to worshiping the Lord. And it made Israel different. This was not a normal concept in the ancient world. It demonstrated God's social concern for people and for slaves, concern for the land. And it was an act of trusting God to say, if I have that day off, if I dedicate this day to worshiping you, you're going to take care of me. See, rest is part of God's beautiful design. God values his people at rest. God wants us to make rest a part of who we are. And I have to say, when I reflect on these things, I go, Langdon, how are you going at taking a Sabbath? How are you going, Langdon, at resting? Can I be honest? I'm not great at it. And if you need to ask me, and I'm happy if you, hey, Langdon, have you had a day off? Because sometimes we don't. What about us? What about you? Are we stopping each week for a day? Are we stopping to reflect on God's creation? Are we stopping to reflect on how God has set free us from sin through Christ? Are we making a day each week to focus on him? Are we trusting God that if I can't get that thing done, you've got it? You're going to take care of it. And what a wonderful thing for us to come together at church on a Sunday, because we get to start like that. We get this time together to do that as a community. But I just want to encourage all of us, keep on remembering that rest is so important. Do it as a church family. Encourage your own family. Encourage each other to take the rest. So we have rest as a way of life. But we also, we had Elizabeth read the Psalm 62 for us. Rest when the pressure is on. Because we have these seasons, don't we? When the pressure is on, when we have health concerns. I know there's, you know, some of our young people have been doing the HSC exams, when work is overwhelming. And then Christmas is coming up. Does anyone get a little stressed or over Christmas? Is that ever a stressful time? I want to reflect on Psalm 62. And if you haven't read this psalm before, it's absolutely beautiful. You might want to go and have a look at it. But it's written by David. And some scholars think it was written by David when he's hiding from his enemies or when his son Absalom rebelled. David's under this pressure. He's got people after him. But this psalm gives us a clue to how David responds. He begins, "Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." What does David do? He's got unimaginable pressure on him. But he starts his psalm with a focus on God as the source of his rest. I don't know about you, but when I'm talking to God, when I'm praying, sometimes, just maybe it's just me, I go, this is my prayer. God, I've got this problem and this problem and this problem and this problem and this problem, and I need help here, 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 here. Please, God, help me. And I start with a focus on what's happening around me. I love the Psalms. This is David pouring his heart out. Where does he start? "Truly, my soul finds rest in my God. My salvation comes from him." The idea, the word there for rest, it denotes silence, stillness, waiting. Let's keep the psalm up on the screen if we can. Just wait, we're going to look at through Psalm 62. There we go. He says, "My salvation comes from him." David is beginning and looking at God for his salvation. He's depending on God. And then we see he moves to look around what's happening. He says, "How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down? This leaning wall, this tottering fence." He acknowledges his enemies. He acknowledges the points of pressure that it's on him. Because they see him as a tottering fence. You ever seen a fence that's about to fall over? This is the picture, David. This is how he's feeling. "I'm feeling like one more push, I can't stand up any longer. One more push, I'm going to go over." But his focus is on the Lord. They see him as a tottering fence, but David is trusting in the Lord to hold him up. Yes, verse 5, "My soul finds rest in my God. My hope comes from him." Another thing I see in this psalm is look at all the words. Look at all the things that David ascribes to God. God is the source of his rest. God is the source of his salvation. God is his rock. God is his mighty rock. God is his fortress. God is his hope. In God he will never be shaken. God is his honor. God is his refuge. God is his power. God is his unfailing love. God is the judge. These aren't just words like holy words in a prayer. This is David's heart. This is David going, "I'm trusting." This is David's intimate relationship playing out, going, "I am trusting in God." This is he's emptying himself out and he's looking no matter what. I can't imagine what he's going through, getting pursued by his enemies, the pressure he's under, but his focus comes to God. He entrusts himself completely to him. And he exhorts the reader as well. In verse 9 and 10, he says, "Look, don't trust in." He says, "Surely the lowborn are a breath, the highborn a lie. If weighed on a balance, they're nothing, together only a breath. Don't trust in extortion or stolen goods, though your riches increase. Do not set your heart on them." David's saying, don't trust in your social status. It's but a breath. Or riches. You'll be rich, you'll be poor, they come and go. Don't trust in lying and don't trust in these other things. He's in this place under pressure, but he's even able to encourage the reader. Verse 8, "Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." Pour out your hearts. Here's my encouragement. to keep on. Some of you do this. We all need encouragement. This is nothing new. But when the pressure's on, do we stop and do we pour our hearts out to God? Do we stop and say, God, you've got this? Do we stop and remember and focus on who God is? I often, what I love to do, I love to pray out loud is my thing, but I don't like anyone else around, so I have to go like to the beach or somewhere or in my house. But sometimes what I do is I have to sit myself down, get rid of the phone and say, God, I'm not leaving until it's all out. I have to empty myself out. Maybe you could do that in song or poetry or writing or whatever that is for you. But do we pour ourselves out to God when the pressure's on and pour ourselves out to God, putting our trust in Him? Do we do it by ourselves? Do we do it as a family? When someone comes to you with a problem, do you encourage them to pour out themselves to God, to present it to God? So often, it's easy to talk about the problem, isn't it? And we've got to do that. We've got to talk through the problems. But we also need to talk and pour it out to the Lord. Do you say to your friend, let's pray. Let's pour it out. Let's let it rest in God. Well, let me look at one more area, the source of our rest. True rest can be found only in relationship with Jesus. And Bernard read these words from Matthew 11. And as Bernard said, Jesus has been speaking about that generation. Jesus has been speaking about these cities that have rejected him. But his plan of salvation is coming into the world. And he says, all things have been committed to be by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And then he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. True rest is only found in relationship with him. Jesus' invitation for rest is for everyone. If Robin was here, he'd say, Jesus for everyone, forever. It's for everyone. It's for the Jews trying to keep all the laws. In that time, many of the Jewish people were keen to stay in relationship with God, but the Pharisees, the oral traditions, made it so hard to keep up with all the laws. And when Jesus comes, he comes to let people know, all you who are weary and burdened with trying to keep all those laws, I will give you rest. For all those weighed down by life's burdens, who are weary and tired, I will give you rest. For all those who are weighed down by sin, makes us feel guilty. It's like a load on our back, weighs us down. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And as Bernard alluded to, there's a picture of some oxen with the yoke. Was the wood that would go between two oxen, and they would put them together so they would work the fields together. It was often associated to being someone who's attached to rabbinic traditions and laws. But this is Jesus' true picture of rest. Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you. Let me be yoked with you. True rest comes in relationship with me. And when we're yoked with Jesus, we walk with Jesus as his disciple. We walk each step along with the Lord Jesus. This is the picture of true rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. True rest is saying, Jesus, you got this. letting him lead our life. This life and the next life. We've thought about Jesus' rest as a way of life. We've thought about the Sabbath system, all pointing forward. That Sabbath system that God set up pointed us toward the true source of our rest. David, as he prays, he's looking to God as his rock and his refuge. He's looking to God when he's under pressure. He's pouring himself out to God. He's ultimately looking to who is to come, the source of our rest. True rest comes in Jesus himself. So when I ask the question this morning, what does Jesus have to do with my alarm clock? True rest doesn't come from hitting the snooze button for another 5 minutes. True rest comes from being in relationship with Jesus. Doesn't mean we're not going to get tired. Doesn't mean we're not going to have trials. Doesn't mean we're not going to have to face things. But true rest comes from being yoked together with him in relationship with God through this life and forever. And so my encouragement today is come to Jesus. Empty yourselves. Pour out your hearts to him. Keep entrusting yourself to him fully. Keep doing that. Pray. May he be your rock and your fortress and your salvation. Let yourself be yoked to Jesus. Come to me, he says, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Let me pray. Father, we come to you with our burdens, with our troubles. But Father, we look to you. We look to you, the source of our rest. We look to the Lord Jesus. Father, we hear these words, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Father, you know each of our hearts this morning. You know those things that are weighing us down. Whether it's trying to be in right relationship with you, whether it's keeping up with the world, whether it's the problems and issues we're facing, whether it's our sin. Father, let us hear your words in our heart this morning. Let us come to you and find the rest that you give. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.